Well, we've been reporting, you know, pretty aggressively over the last year or so about the changes that are going on in media, and they seem to be accelerating more than anything else. Obviously, we've got Comcast getting ready to spin off USA Network and CNBC and all that business. Finally, it looks like there's some resolution to this soap opera that's been going on with CBS and Paramount Global and Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers Discovery is on the... It is a cluster trying to figure out what's going on. One man who knows and has been in this business for decades and has watched this evolution is Jeremy Toman, who right now is the CEO of AugX Labs, but he has been at CBS and HBO and was there for the beginning of the Slingbox, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here.
So are we going back? You know, I saw this thing the other day, and so Disney and Hulu and Max and ESPN are sort of starting like cable 2.0. Are we going back where we started out?
I feel like it's like the snake that eats its tail. We're just sort of going in these weird loops where it everything is one way, and then that breaks apart and it fragments into some whole other thing, and then it unfragments back into the whole big thing again. So I know that I, for example, became a cord cutter years ago, but I probably pay for enough services that I might as well still be paying for the bundle. So yeah, I guess so.
And it's a lot easier. I mean, cable was just our over the air when it was only over there, but it was just a lot easier. You could kind of click and go from one place to another rather than wait for stuff to be streaming. But the whole idea of the selling to the public was that this was going to be less expensive. Why pay for, you know, E Network or MTV if you don't watch it? Just pay for the ESPN and the sports that you watch. That had worked.
That's what we all thought would happen. And then I think instead we realized, like, I'll give an example. There's tremendous knowledge of the inertia of canceling services. So even if you're finished watching all of the shows you're going to watch on streaming provider X, we are still left with sort of that emotional residue of, well, I don't want to unsubscribe. I don't want to miss something, right? That's like the FOMO thing. So we all still pay for all these services that we don't really necessarily even watch on a month in, month out basis.
So is this in response to the public, or is the public being conditioned? I mean, is the public saying, I don't want to sit in front of the tube and be forced to watch stuff? Or is it, are they, is that, is their behavior being modified by the media business?
I think it's a real push-pull thing, right? If you're, you know, fundamentally, I think the system is being run by the big companies chasing the money, candidly, right? We know there was substantially easier to monetize the sort of basic cable TV world we had been in, right? Some of its service, some of its ads, we all know how it works. Once streaming showed up, and as we've talked about, is whether you're going a la carte or rebundling or whatever, it really changes the unit economics for the whole industry. And I think they're all still figuring it out, right? Like it used to be that people would care, like, what service are you signing up for? How big's your bundle, or what are you buying on demand? Whereas now it becomes a, you know, what are the individual things you're paying for, you know, as a micro slice.
And now the way it is, I mean, I don't know about you. I can't remember. Where I've seen something, if I want to watch the third episode, I can't remember which service it's on anymore. And it's become a real challenge.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that was actually my last startup. My last startup back in the teens, we had built a TV guide app called Next Guide that was all around helping you track shows from where they went from point A to point B, so that if you want to start watching on Netflix, but then one day it shifts from Netflix to Prime or something, you can keep finding it wherever it went. So I think you're not the only one who gets frustrated by that.
Well, I need your startup. So tell me what you're doing now with this AugX Labs. I see you're using artificial intelligence in creating.
Yeah. Content. So I've spent 30 years building media tech products, but all of them have been on the side of basically the consumption and distribution. This time, what I'm building with AugX Labs, our flagship product is called Augie. And Augie is basically a video editing studio designed for you and me. I don't know about you, but most people have a struggle when it comes to video editing, because the tools are designed for professionals, right? If you've ever tried Avid or Adobe Premiere Pro, they're amazing, but they're really designed for the people who know how to use them. Whereas if I just want to make a simple ad for my own startup for Instagram, you know, learning how to do Premiere, it's like learning how to fly a helicopter just to go to the corner store to get some milk, right? And so we've sort of come out with this mid-tier level product where there's a much, much lower learning curve. Again, to be transparent, you can't do all the things you could possibly do in Premiere. But if you're trying to promote a product, good brand or service, hopefully Augie can fit the bill for you.
So where is this product consumed? Because that's the other question I have. It never occurred to me that people would actually want to watch a 30-minute or 90-minute movie on their phone. I mean, a little tiny screen that they hold in front of them rather than a 55-inch flat screen with surround sound in the friendly confines of their den. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I remember the first time I recorded a video portrait on my phone and being being very sad inside. Like I was one of those video will never be portrait kind of people. And clearly I lost that war. Our users primarily use Augie to make promotional content for social media. So that's either Instagram, TikTok, or LinkedIn or YouTube are pretty much where most of our users are going. So people who are promoting, for example, a podcast use Augie to make short clips from the long clips or to make video where they only had audio. Those are some of the features we have. People are using it to make ads. We'll do things like feed it their hours and hours of their B-roll, and Augie will automatically splice it up and to make shorter content forms. You can export both portrait and landscape. And I would say our users are currently pretty equally split. So, you know, it's sort of that combination of YouTube, which is still mostly landscape, and then social, yeah, where it's more
and again,
portrait.
Landscape being what we see on television or in a movie, yes, and portrait being what you see on your iPhone, I guess. So where does this shake out? Now, let me go back to where we started out with all of these streaming services and everything else. This bundling, maybe I'm hung up on this, but this, I don't know if Disney is going to be the winner here with this, but this Disney Plus, Hulu, Max, joint subscription, all in one place. You know, actually YouTube TV does a decent job at this, but not quite. But is that where we end up?
I think it's a really hard thing to predict. Like the cycles as we see them, like if we go back in time 10 years, we saw the beginning of the splintering of services, right? That's when we started seeing like the micro streaming packages start coming up. And now we live at a time where there's so many, right? And things like Prime have add-ons like BritBox and others. So it seems like we're going to be in this sort of camp for a while. But you know, the overwhelming thing to your point on these bundles is the economics don't really work with the microservices. So it seems likely that what you're saying is where the path heads is that, you know, already, if you think about it, Disney Plus is already sort of a bundling app.
Yeah.
Prime's already doing it. It wouldn't surprise me to see Apple TV do the same. So we'll see what the next couple of years shake out.
And on a big macro view, people are going to watch this, right? I mean, see, you know, a couple of years ago, people were telling me, nobody's going to watch, you know, the kids don't watch television anymore. They're growing up not watching television. So what do? They play games. They game. They don't watch television anymore. It's dead.
You know, I'll say it this way. I have teenage kids, and regardless of what the content's going to be, if the choice is, for example, a two-hour movie or 2 hours worth of TikToks and et cetera, movie's going to lose every time. Now I'm the opposite, right? I'm like, what's this thing that we can like sink our brains into and just kind of stew there for a while. But you know, I understand it, right? Like, you know, the, as we'd say, the kids today, we always are craving faster, shorter, better, in your face, get access right this instant, right? Everybody wants everything right now.
Yeah.
And you know, the social world, it, you know, solves that for them very well.
It goes, boy, it's moving very quickly, I tell you. Jeremy Toman is a veteran of the industry, is now CEO of AugX Labs and producing what people want to see and allowing me to produce what I want to say. I got to see one of these machines. Good to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Great chatting.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.